This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
I'm going to talk about advanced intraoperative imaging for EVAR and complex aortic procedures. I don't have any disclosures that are relevant to this, but I do want to acknowledge that a large number of the images in these slides came from a variety of colleagues, Matt Eagleton, Stefan Hollon, and Gustavo Oderich, so to give them all credit that's due. So, you know, we saw with Ben some terrific stuff and already some use of some advanced imaging techniques in their new operating room. Most of us now do have hybrid suites that we have access to, but traditionally EVAR procedures have been performed just utilizing two-dimensional fluoroscopy and digital subtraction angiography. But really, it would be much nicer, and we do have the capability to see anatomy in three dimensions, to eliminate the need for a lot of DSA, to reduce radiation exposures, to be able to assess our repairs intraoperatively at the time of the procedure and correct any technical problems that we may not see on two-dimensional imaging, and perhaps in the future even eliminate the need for fluoro altogether or to a large extent for many of these cases. And so some of the technologies that I'm going to talk about are cone beam CT, image fusion techniques, digital SUM techniques to reduce radiation exposures, and then some future concepts in non-radiation-based image guidance using kind of GPS-like navigation to work within the aorta. We saw from Ben already an example of cone beam CT. This is a GE Discovery unit. Stefan Hollon's room, who I got this slide from. But basically the concept with cone beam CT is that the C-arm gantry arcs about 270 degrees, connects a lot of anatomic information that can be volumetrically reconstructed so that you get basically effectively get CT scan data using this. And the utility of this, for especially for complex cases, is the ability to now create three-dimensional overlays to help guide these procedures. And that's the concept of fusion imaging. And so kind of the steps for this are that we take the preoperative CT scan and create our three-dimensional model. And then within that model, you can create anatomic markers, bifurcation, the level of the renal arteries, the ostia for each of the vessels. So you can see here in one of these cases where we actually put little markers around the origins of the visceral arteries in a complex thoracoabdominal case that we did. Once we've done that, we do a cone beam CT when the patient's in the room. And then we register those images with the patient's preoperative CT angiogram and that cone beam CT that we just did with the patient on the table. And so here you can kind of see in yellow is the cone beam CT that was done in the room. It's being superimposed on the patient's original preoperative CT angiogram and then looking in different directions. We first register lining the bony structures, and then we can also take advantage of arterial calcification to make sure that we have good image registration for the aorta as well. And then once we've done that, we kind of fuse all those things together, the anatomic markers, the overlay that we created to create our 3D model that can then be overlaid on our two-dimensional fluoro screen that we're seeing in the operating room. And then based on any angle that we're looking at, we can still see that three-dimensional information on the fluoro screen in front of us. So this is one of our cases, again, a complex case with a thoracoabdominal case that we're doing. And so basically, once we've created this overlay, you can see these little rings, and those were the markers for the celiac SMA and the two renal arteries. We usually do a quick catheterization of one or two of these vessels to make sure that our registration and alignment is appropriate. And so here you can see we have good alignment with the target left renal artery. We don't do digital subtraction angiography to start these cases and position devices and cannulate vessels. We basically just catheterize, do a puff of contrast, and save the radiation by not doing the DSA runs. Can you go back one? So we reduce the need for the DSA runs. The other thing that we can do is we can right away already know the optimal C-arm angles. Once you get this ring perpendicular, you know that you have the right alignment, so you don't have to do a bunch of angiography to get the right orientation for the vessel. All of that reduces the radiation doses and streamlines these cases. And so here you can see another example when we've already positioned our device. This is a four-vessel fenestrated device here with a catheter coming through one of the fenestrations in the right renal artery. Again, no DSA to confirm that we're there, just a little puff of contrast through our catheter. and then we'll move on and we'll basically cannulate all of the fenestrations in the target branches and then be able to complete that case. You can create more sophisticated overlays. I actually don't like these because they confuse me and I just see too much information on the screen and I think they get in the way. But there are a variety of different overlays that you can create to help guide your procedures. Now, there can be some issues with accuracy using the different systems, and they do differ whether you're on a Siemens system or a GE or a Philips system, but they can be affected by the quality of your CTA preoperatively, the slice thickness, patient movement. So if you're doing anything under local and the patient moves on the table, of course, that's going to throw your registration off. Or if you move the patient after the cone beam CT while you're prepping the patient, that can be an issue. There's respiratory motion, particularly of the renal arteries. And then you can also get vessel distortion from the stiff guide wires and devices that can throw this off. So I like to tease my fellows sometimes to say that they're not really good with their alignment. In each of our cases, the fellows does all the fusion procedure ahead of time, but I have a Canadian fellow and he likes to keep telling me that the marks are bang on today. Here you can see also a stiff sheath or guide wire basically straightening those iliacs. And so a lot of these overlays, particularly looking at the iliacs, the renal arteries, and if you have a really angulated neck, that can be modified by the stiff angles. This is Stefan Hollon again, and this is on the GE unit. This is actually very nice because you can actually do your image registration right at table side, and you don't do cone beam CT in this system. You just do two perpendicular shots, one AP, one lateral, then you align the bony structures there that he showed you, and you don't even have to do the cone beam CT scan, and then you've already got your preoperative model that you had done on your CT angiogram, and then that gets displayed right on the fluoro in front of you to guide the procedure. Some of these benefits with the newer imaging systems are that you can move the table into the position without having your foot on the fluoro pedal, again, saving radiation exposure in some of these complex cases. And this is just an example in one of these complex cases of using that fusion model to position and to deploy a device here. So here you can see a fenestrated device that's being deployed. Here's the overlay that he's using here where you can see all of his branch vessels and make sure that the device is in the proper position and rotational orientation as it's being deployed. So really a huge benefit. Again, there was no digital subtraction angiography, no contrast, and not very much radiation when that was being done for that patient. So really quite remarkable. And then the other thing with cone beam CT, and Ben already showed this, is the ability to do completion assessments right in the operating room. If you've got a problem with a branch, say a visceral branch or something, and that goes down postoperatively, those patients die. And so it's important to recognize that and correct that right away. It also obviates the need to get postoperative CT scans in the hospital. So you can do your immediate assessment. We do this without contrast, just looking at the stent forms to make sure that there's no compression, no dislodgements, no kinking of any devices, and that can be done very nicely right in the room just before you complete the procedure. Even just looking at axial slices, you can look for compression and look at all of your branches. And if you see something like this in a fenestrated case with a compressed or crushed renal stent, you now have the opportunity to correct that right away before it really is a problem. So the concept here is with these advanced rooms and systems is that you can basically combine everything and you have it all at hand in the operating room. You can do this planning on the workstation in the control room. You can use all of this advanced three-dimensional fusion image guidance to guide the procedure to make it safer, less radiation, less contrast, and more streamlined, and then even assess the quality of your reconstruction right there in the operating room to connect any issues that there may be. This is just looking at our earlier experience with thoracoabdominal endovascular repairs at Cornell. We actually started really aggressively using fusion imaging here about patient number 20, and you can see that we've had a progressive decrease in time. Now, that's not just from fusion. There's some learning curve issues there, I'm sure, but fusion was one thing, and then converting almost completely to percutaneous techniques, and then using some different sheath technology also to reduce blood loss. But the image guidance, I think, was key to a lot of this. Now, this is the concept of digital zoom. And so nowadays we have these very large, high-definition monitors on the new machines. And so rather than magging up the actual fluoro and using more radiation, you can collimate, take that non-mag image, and then just on the screen digitally enlarge it, and that saves additional radiation. So I don't know if you saw this here with just magging up the image on the screen, not changing the radiation dose, the magnification on the machine itself. And that can give you great resolution to still do all of these detailed type procedures. This is an interesting thing, and this is, I was talking about some of the potential in the future and doing radiation-free image guidance. This is work that Matt Eagleton's doing with Centerline Biomedical, basically using electromagnetic tracking, almost like a GPS system, to navigate catheters and devices within the aorta. And so they do base this on the preoperative CT scan DICOM data, and from that they create these three-dimensional wireframe models. Those can be superimposed or registered, both using angiography or with CT scans, to basically create that same kind of three-dimensional fusion image for guidance. And then within the model, they use this electromagnetic tracking to track these catheters and devices and wires that have little sensors on them. And so it's a little bit bulky right now, the system. They do have proof of concept outside of patients, and actually now some patient data. And here's the concept here. So this is basically this EM guidance generated image where you can see your three-dimensional aortic model. You can see the catheter within space within that model and navigate it, not just looking at the fluoro screen, but actually looking at the monitor for this guidance system. You can rotate, you can look down the barrel, you can magnify all these things to really help catheterize and cannulate these target vessels. And they have now used this in a couple of cases here in their IDE experience at the Cleveland Clinic, just showing this EM tracking navigation to access target vessels here in a branch thoracoabdominal case. And then with the modeling that they're doing, they're trying to also see if they can assess and see the alterations on the vessel with respiratory motion and other motions to see if they can model that, to see if you can correct for the stiffness of the wires and the device and how that affects vessel morphology so that you can orient, and also the effect of here wires in a renal artery. So based on the type of wire being used, whether it's low stiffness, medium stiffness, or a very stiff wire that induces a lot of straightening and conformational changes to help guide these systems. So I think with that, I'll conclude here saying that the fusion imaging certainly does provide continuous three-dimensional image visualization. It facilitates EVAR, especially complex cases. There is some learning curve to doing it, but it really can be learned and easily integrated into the workflow. We do it routinely now. Our fellows do it in virtually every case. It really does facilitate device positioning, deployment, target vessel cannulation in these complex cases, and significantly can reduce radiation doses and streamline the procedures. I think completion cone beam CT is also an important thing. You can detect these technical problems and correct them intraoperatively, and certainly the future is going to be really eliminating radiation altogether and being able to correct for some of the vessel deformations and movements during the cases. And with that, I'll stop.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.